we turn to the words of Paul's second letter to Timothy. We read those words in our second reading this morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, could you imagine for just a moment this morning what it would be like if you coming to church was an illegal action, that it was outlawed? What if you, by practicing your Christian faith, would now be threatened with imprisonment and maybe, yes, even possibly death itself? What would your Christian faith look like then? You may think that this is part of the imagination, but it is actually reality 2,000 years ago for the fledgling Christian church after Jesus had risen and ascended into heaven. The Apostle Paul was being threatened with death. He was now not under house arrest. He was actually living in a prison cell that was dark and cold and lonely. Can you imagine yourself being in such a situation as the Apostle Paul was? Not only was he in that cell, he knew that he was going to die for the sake of the gospel. Death was imminent. What would be going through your mind in such a situation? It is amazing then to read these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy right before he would die. This is like the last will and testament of the Apostle Paul before he would enter eternal life in heaven with God. And look at his attitude. It isn't one of complaining. It's one of thankfulness. It's filled with gratitude. Gratitude for all that God had done for him, and gratitude especially here for Timothy. You see, Paul was still on a mission. Even though he was imprisoned in a dark, cold cell, he was on a mission to pass on that word to the next generation, to pass the baton in the race to Timothy, that next generation of pastors. And so even in the midst of this bleak outcome for Paul, Paul encourages Timothy and tells Timothy, fan into flame the gifts that God has given to you. Don't let those embers go out. Fan it into flame. And today God would call to us the same way. He would tell us, fan into flame the gifts that God has given to you. That gift of an enduring faith and that gift of a blazing, right gift of grace from God. While Paul was there in that dark, cold, lonely prison cell, he was praying, thanking God for Timothy, but not only for Timothy, but also remembering the blessings Timothy had in this life too. One day, Paul had gone to a city called Lystra, and there he not only proclaimed the gospel to a man from that town called Timothy, but he had also proclaimed that gospel to Timothy's mother, Eunice, and to Eunice's mother, Timothy's grandmother, Lois. Three generations coming from the same congregation in Lystra. And Paul, even though he was in that dark cell, his heart was filled with gratitude for being able to preach that gospel to Eunice, to Lois, to Timothy, there in Lystra. And he wanted that faith of Timothy not to go out, but rather to be fanned into flame. Are there ever things in our lives that cause our faith to grow cold? Maybe we can think of a couple of things. One thing is a fear of the world. There was hostility in the world in the Roman Empire for the Christian church 2,000 years ago, the fear of imprisonment and death, are the fears of the world for you too. When you think about how it's our human nature wanting to fit in with others, wanting to fit in with culture and society, to go along, just to get along, so that we all live comfortably and happily, when all the while we recognize that our new man in us burns with a desire to hold on to the gospel and, yes, also to proclaim that gospel with all its vividness and brightness to us, that joy of knowing we've got a Savior who has risen from the dead. Well, there's another thing that may cause our faith to grow cold too, not just the world around us, but our own hearts and its inability at times to understand and to see that Jesus is our most precious treasure. If our eyes are just focused on the world and all the pleasures and treasures and comforts that this world can give us, then we may lose sight of that most precious treasure that we have in Jesus, our Savior. Fan into flame the gifts of God, the gifts God has given to you. That's what Paul tells Timothy, and that's what Paul encourages us to do too. Do you remember back in olden times when a blacksmith's fire would start to grow cold? What would he do? Maybe he would take something called his bellows and he would pump air into that fire so that the fire would grow and grow and increase in temperature. God does that for us too. He fans into flame our faith, but he does it through means. God's bellows are his precious gospel. God's bellows are his sacraments in which he feeds and cares for us. We don't want our faith to grow cold, but we want it to grow and grow more as time goes on. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, as Paul tells Timothy. God has given us a spirit of power. Not our own power, but the power of God which rests in us through his gospel. A power that recognizes that even when we become sick and ill and alone in this world, we are still victorious because our Savior has risen from the dead. We are still conquerors in Christ because he who has risen will cause us to arise on the last day. That even when death comes, our souls will be with the Lord God Almighty in heaven. You have a spirit of power, God's power to you. You have a spirit of love, Paul tells us too. A love that is kindled by God's love for you in the first place. God sees your condition. He sees you are helpless to save yourselves. And God comes to seek and to save those who are lost. God has given you such a spirit through his Holy Spirit. What a blessing. And he mentions a third thing, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. A spirit with a mind that looks to do what God desires for us to do. The sinful human nature would rather be quiet and maybe be ashamed of the gospel, but our new man in us wants to serve the Lord, wants to proclaim that gospel, even if it means hard times for us and difficult days ahead for us. We can't help but speak that gospel. May the Lord God continue to fan into flame your faith, that faith inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you have every motivation to do so because God has given you one other gift. Not only has he given you faith, but he's given you his grace. He's given you his undeserved favor and love. Think about that for a moment. You and I are sinners, deserving of nothing good from our God. And yet, he has sent Jesus to cancel all of our guilt, to free us from sin by his blood. That was not done by your works. None of your works accomplished that great gift of grace and forgiveness. It was all by Jesus, as Paul tells Timothy, and as he tells you this morning too. And grace upon grace has been shown to us when we think about when God first thought of you and thought of Timothy and Paul. When did God first think of you? It was not at your birth. It was not at your baptism. God first thought about you and knew you before the beginning of time. That's what Paul tells Timothy too. He chose you to be his own before day one of creation. He knew you and knew you by name and knew that he would bring the gospel to you. If God by his grace chose us before the creation of the world, we know with certainty that our salvation has nothing to do with us and everything to do with a gracious God who loved us and gave himself for us. God, by his grace, chose you. He elected you to eternal salvation through his Son. That's grace, and by grace alone you have been saved. But this God was so gracious that he made it known what his plan was for you. Just think about it. If God would have kept that plan secret, we would never know what his plan was. We would be lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief like so many people in the world today. God revealed his plan to you. Think about it like this for a moment. Right now, at this moment, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you're thinking. In order to know what you're thinking, I need to hear you speak to me. And then I will know your thoughts. How will you know the thoughts of God? Only if he speaks to you. Only if he shares with you what is on his mind. And he shares with you deeply what is on his mind as he unfolds his precious gospel before you, as he enlightens your minds and hearts with his holy word. And God shows us himself and shows us what's on his mind most of all when he reveals the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. When you have seen Jesus, your Savior, you have seen your God. And that is all by grace that such a revelation has been made known to you. Paul finally gives us the pinnacle of that grace when he tells us what this Savior did for us. That he destroyed death. It means that God put out of commission death itself. When we look at death in our world, we think that death is in authority. That death is in control. Every time we come to a funeral, it looks to us like death has won. But Paul tells Timothy, as Paul himself is about to face death, that Christ Jesus has destroyed death. He's rescued us and brought immortality to light through the gospel. That's what you have to look forward to. You have life in Jesus now, and you will be in eternal life with Jesus forever. Can you think of a greater motivation to share Jesus with others than the grace of God, which has been poured out so wonderfully and so brilliantly as Paul did to Timothy in these few short sentences before us this morning? Isn't our faith burning brightly? Looking back thankfully at those mothers and fathers, grandparents, like Lois and Eunice, who shared the gospel with us. I've had members who have said they're thankful for their spouse, but before they married their spouse, they had been far away from Jesus. And when they married that Christian spouse, they came to faith and were faithful members to this very day. Thank God for those people God has brought into our lives, whose mission work was begun in our homes, so that that faith that God has given us has been fanned into flame. And may we continue to use our gifts to God's glory, so that inspired by His grace, in whatever calling we have, whether it's a mother or a father or a grandfather or grandmother, a neighbor who crosses the street to say hello to that other neighbor, or to that Christian who visits that other Christian in a hospital that can often feel cold and lonely, may God use us as His instruments to fan into flame the faith of others as well. God, give us such a faith inspired by God's grace, His undeserved love for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.